Arm Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast here to share a winning strategy for Father's Day from our partners at Sterling Roastery. If your dad treats his morning coffee like a pregame ritual, you need to introduce him to the Sterling Roastery lineup. This isn't that stale, over-roasted stuff sitting on our grocery shelf. Sterling roasts their beans multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. The smart play? A coffee subscription. He gets to choose his grind, from French press to espresso, and his favorite roast, depth. It's a world-class lineup of Java that shows up like a reliable veteran on a perennial powerhouse team. Go to sterlingsoap.com and set him up. He'll thank you with every cup. That's sterlingsoap.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pig Pen, your portal to positive football history. And the history of football has really taken some great turns and had some great trajectories, but also has had some great stories to it, both from the famous players that we hear about in our living rooms every week to week and still talk about to this day decades later, to the guys maybe we haven't heard that much about. We have a couple interesting stories today on some great legendary players. And the first one is maybe one of those players you've never heard about. But this is an amazing player that Coach Hank Stram of the Kansas City Chiefs used in a very unusual way. In the late 1960s, the NFL was at an arms race. Coaches were looking for any edge, any loophole to snatch victory. But while most teams were looking for at the playbook, the Kansas City Chiefs were looking at the rafters. Meet Morris Stroud. At 6'10", he remains one of the tallest players ever to lace up a pair of cleats in the National Football League. On paper, he was a tight end, but Stroud was a physical anomaly in an era of smaller, scrappier players. But head coach Hank Stram didn't just want Stroud to catch passes. He had a vision that felt more like a heist than a strategy. The logic was deviously simple. Why let the ball go through the uprights when you have a man tall enough to reach them? During field goal attempts, Stroud wouldn't rush the kicker. He wouldn't try to penetrate the line. Instead, he would retreat. He'd stand directly under the crossbar, wait for the ball to reach its apex, and simply jump. The tactic? Stroud would swat away kicks that were clearly on a scoring trajectory that he could reach with his hands and his leg power. It turned the automatic 3 points into a game of basketball played on grass. It was the ultimate defensive cheat code. You didn't need to block the kick at the line. You just needed a giant play, a goalie, at the rim. The NFL offices in New York weren't amused. This wasn't football. It was an existential threat to the scoring system. And if ever a team found a 7-footer to camp out under the goalpost, the field goal would become extinct, or they would have to have a higher trajectory. In 1970, the league lowered the boom. The Stroud Rule, as it was called, was the official NFL amendment to the rulebook to preserve the integrity of the kicking game. The new regulation stated, it is illegal to touch or deflect a ball that is above the crossbar between the uprights. It was goaltending, and the penalty is the field goal was ruled successful and the 3 points were awarded. Now, Morris Stroud never actually recorded a stat for a goalpost block in an official game that changed the score. But the mere threat of his 6'10 frame was enough to change the laws of the game forever. So the next time you see a ball sail through the uprights with room to spare, remember, Morris Stroud. He's the reason the sky stays open. Yeah, that is definitely one different way to use a player, and it's so unique that the NFL has to make a rule to stop you from doing it before something can really happen. But we have those players that do the mundane tasks that we see every day, but just do it to such a high elite level that nobody can even compare to them. You know, they are the GOATs, the greatest of all time at their positions. Well, there's been a debate going on for quite a while about the wide receiver position, and that is, you know, dramatically dominated by one man in recent modern football history. But maybe somebody from the past has the right to talk about them as a crown too. So here's a part of our story that I think you will enjoy on this too. In the debate over the greatest wide receiver of all time, Jerry Rice is the default answer. His records are so massive, they look like typos. But what if we define dominance not by career totals, by how much a player embarrassed their own era? With this in mind, there is a ghost from Green Bay who might actually have Rice beat. Enter Don Hutson, the man often called the Babe Ruth of football. To understand Hutson, you have to look at the gaps. In 1942, Hutson caught 74 passes. The guy in second place, he had 33. Hutson didn't just lead the league, he was the league. Over 11 seasons, Hutson won the receiving triple crown, leading in catches, yards, and touchdowns 7 times. To put that in perspective, that accounts for nearly 40% of all triple crowns in NFL history. He was inventing the modern passing game while defenders were still trying to figure out how to tackle. He led the league in touchdowns 8 times. 8! He retired with 99 scores, a record that stood for 44 years until Steve Largent finally broke it in a much longer season. And he did all that while playing elite defense too, retiring with 30 career interceptions. So you may ask, why is Rice still the GOAT? Because dominance isn't just a peak, it's a siege. Rice played 20 seasons and 303 games, nearly triple Hutson's career. Hutson played in an era of leather helmets, and frankly, a shallower talent pool due to the era's segregation and the impact of World War II. Rice dominated the league during the most competitive era of football, facing Hall of Fame cornerbacks in a league designed to stop him. Rice's 22,895 receiving yards aren't just a record, they are a mountain. A gap between Rice and second place is almost an entire Hall of Fame career in itself. And if Hutson was a supernova that blinded us in the 1940s, Rice was a sun that refused to set for 2 decades. Here's the statistical truth. If you measure dominance by a standard deviation, how far ahead were you from the average player next to you? Don Hutson is the most dominant player in NFL history. He wasn't just better, he was a different species. But if you define dominance as the highest level of sustained excellence against the best athletes on earth, well, my friends, Jerry Rice stands alone. Hutson revolutionized the game, but Rice perfected it. One was a pioneer who broke the math, and the other was a machine that broke the record book. Who's your pick? The Babe Ruth of the gridiron or the GOAT? The comparison is what makes football fun. Going back to the record books and studying the football history, we do it all in your portal to positive football history, pigskindispatch.com.
We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's 4th and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hi, everyone. There's a new podcast in town, Statman and Robin. We are the dynamic duo of Baltimore sports history.
We have lots of stories to tell about the great and not so great teams and players in Baltimore's rich sports history, and some of the more obscure ones too.
We grew up together with these teams and players, and we'll add our experiences to these great stories.
Yep, we were there for a lot of them. Join us here on the Sports History Network.